Philippians 3, verses 1 to 11. Finally, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Amen. We probably all know someone who has a vast wealth of experience on most subjects, and they'll be able to advise you on whatever information you require. And if they don't know the answer, they would probably quickly Google it and let on that all along they did know the answer. I have a friend who would be extremely knowledgeable in all sorts of technology, and TVs or laptops or whatever technology type thing that you would be interested in going for. And he gains much of his information on reading through reviews and a bit of personal experience as well. And there was one day recently that he was planning, or another guy was planning to buy a new mobile phone. He'd done a wee bit of research and he'd come back with these three phones and said, look, I mean, which of these do you reckon would be the best to get? This friend of mine looked at him and says, they're rubbish. He says, they're all rubbish. And personally, I don't think they were all rubbish because I actually owned one of them myself. But I think he reckoned that there was only one phone that you should have. But there are other phones out there that are good too. So he didn't reckon that any of these phones, he reckoned they were all rubbish. And you know, in our passage today, we read from Philippians chapter 3. And Paul talked about some things that are rubbish. And he's not talking about mobile phones, but he's talking about those things in our life, or in his life, that he had believed were very important, but now considers them rubbish compared to the greatness of knowing Jesus Christ. And you know, that is an amazing challenge for each of us as we take a look at our own lives and consider what we are placing our trust in this morning. And so often we place our confidence in the so-called important things, or those things that we believe to be important. Things that we maybe have done in our lives, things that we have achieved by our own efforts. And as we look at this passage today, I want to break it into the following three headings. Not trusting on our own merits, trusting in Christ alone, and finally, where are you placing your trust? And firstly, as we look at not trusting on our own merits, Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians whilst he was in prison. And his primary purpose in writing this letter was to thank them for the gift that they had sent them when they had learnt of his detention in Rome. But of course, as well as thanking them, Paul used this opportunity to speak to them about other issues as well, and to warn the Philippians against those who were trusting in their own self-importance, and also against the legalists who used the law as an attempt to merit God's approval and blessing. And you know, Paul's warning to the Philippians must have been very important, because it says in verse 1 of chapter 3 that we read today, he says, "It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you." He was warning the Philippians about safeguarding their lives and to watch out for those dogs, as he describes them in verse 2, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. Today we consider a dog as being a domestic animal, a family pet that we'll have in our houses. But the Jews would have considered a dog to be the most despicable creature. And Paul was using those harsh words against his opponents, a group of Jews called the Judaizers, who were causing trouble by opposing the gospel message and by spreading false doctrine. They wrongly taught that the sinner was saved by good works and by following the Old Testament laws. We don't need to add anything to Christ's offer of salvation by grace through faith. Christ took our punishment on the cross. In Genesis chapter 11, we read about the men who came together to build the Tower of Babel. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches the heavens, so that we might make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth." Those men were proud and boastful, and they wanted to make a name for themselves through their own efforts and through their own achievements. But you know, God came and he stopped them. He stopped them from building that tower by causing them to speak different languages. And he scattered them over the face of the whole earth. It is so easy to get caught up in things. Things that we like to boast about. Our material possessions, our reputation, our successes, even our religious achievements. All of which can give us that feeling of self-satisfaction. We can get caught up in those sort of things and as a result lose our joyfulness. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul warns them in verse 4 to avoid trusting in themselves. And he goes on to say that if anyone thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, that he has more. And he goes on and he gives a list of the reasons that he could use for putting confidence in himself by his way of Jewish upbringing, privileges, and attainments. Paul had been born a Jew into a pure Hebrew family of the tribe of Benjamin, which meant that his Jewish roots were deep and unambiguous. His human heritage would be something to be proud of. He was a Pharisee, which in the eyes of the law would have been seen as reaching the highest standard of religious experience. Paul even confesses that he had been a defender of his orthodox faith by persecuting the followers of Jesus, and he had assisted in the stoning of Stephen and by leading the attack and persecuting the church. But that was all before Paul came to know and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Prior to his conversion, he was called Saul, Saul of Tarsus. And he would have considered himself to be a righteous man by obeying outwardly the demands of the law. And when he compared himself to other men, Saul would have seen himself as being a great success. Maybe this morning we see ourselves as being a great success. And probably many of us could draw up a list of things that we feel would give us reason to put confidence in ourselves and not in Jesus. We might say we come from a good family, that our parents and our grandparents were Christians, or we might consider, because we have a particular role in the church, that these type of things will make us good enough without needing to trust in Jesus. It's so easy to put our trust in our own merits and to compare ourselves with the people around us and think that we are so much better than others. But we need to look at the inside and not the outside. Instead of comparing ourselves with the standards set by men, we need to look at the standards set by God. Secondly, we want to look at trusting in Christ alone. Paul continues his letter in verse 8 by explaining to the Philippians that he considers everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus. And he tells them that all those reasons that he had listed of things that he could use for putting confidence in himself, that he now considers them rubbish in comparison to knowing Jesus Christ. We read that Paul met Jesus on the Damascus Road in Acts chapter 9. Paul's life was changed. He turned his life around. His life was changed. He turned from his old ways and trusted in Christ. And instead of persecuting the church and preaching against it, he started to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. And when Paul came to know Christ, he was no longer held in that high regard by his old colleagues. He lost his religion. He lost his reputation, his role model status. But Paul realized that all those things of his old life, that they weren't important, that they were just rubbish. We do get caught up with the things that we consider to be important, and we trust in our own merits and in those things that will never make us right with God. There's a young American country singer, Jen Bostick, and some time ago, a few years ago, she had a hit with a single called Not Me, Not Yet. And she described this song as being about chasing your dream. Not going to attempt to sing it to you this morning, but lyrics in the middle of it goes like this. It doesn't matter what you think, I am good enough. I'm climbing up this ladder, and it doesn't matter what you say, because no matter what it takes, I am going to make it. Yes, I am going to find a way. And you know, that is how many people today think, that they can climb the ladder and find a way to whatever they want in life. And that even applies to how they think that they can find their own way to God. But we can't do anything by ourselves to get right with God. No matter how much we try or how much we do, we can't do it on our own. Good works are not good works unless they are the result of trusting in Christ Jesus as our own personal Savior and Lord, who died on the cross for our sins. Paul, again, in his first letter to Timothy, he wrote, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Paul had thought he was a good person. He thought he was a righteous person. But when he met Christ on the Damascus Road, he realized that he was nothing but a sinner. And again in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, Paul says that it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. He goes on to say that we are God's workmanship, created in Jesus Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Paul's making the point that nobody can be saved by doing good works or even religious works. A Christian's good works should be the result of their faith through trusting in Jesus Christ alone. Thirdly, where are you placing your trust this morning? We can either place our trust on our own merits or by trusting in Jesus Christ. And Paul had spent many years trusting on his own merits until he met Jesus and trusted in him as his Lord and Savior. You know, some of us can be hoarders and we don't like to throw things out. And comes to this time of the year, the springtime, and we sort of think, well, we're going to have a big spring clean and get everything tidied out and make the place all, get rid of all the so-called things that we don't need. And I do that quite often as well, but I mean, I'm not sure about you, but I mean, I would see something and I think, that could be important, I might need that possibly at some stage, and that goes back. And you look at something else and brings back memories of something, I don't want to throw that out, I'll keep that. And you know, before we're finished, everything's back in the shelves and in the boxes and you don't get cleared out. But you know, we do, we hoard, but it's one of those things that things that we think probably too important to throw out, you know, probably only gathering dust on the shelves and the cupboards, and they are probably rubbish when we look at it. And you know, that can be the same in our lives, that we hold on to those things that Paul described as rubbish. Paul thought he had everything in his old life, and by man's standards, he had everything that you would ever have wanted. But when Paul was living under the law, all he had was a set of rules to obey. When he trusted in Christ, he had a friend and a master. So Paul gained far more than what he had lost. And we too need to consider what we are holding on to in our life. Are we trusting in the rubbish things, or are we trusting in Christ alone? Paul writes in verses 10 and 11, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Even though Paul was imprisoned and he was suffering for preaching the gospel message and for doing God's will, he was still rejoicing in the Lord. He was still rejoicing. Paul considered it a privilege to suffer for Christ. In the past, he had been a persecutor of the church. Now Paul was being persecuted for teaching God's word and for spreading the gospel message. But Paul was happy to suffer for Christ, because Christ has suffered on the cross for our sins. At the beginning, I talked about my friend who had told another guy that the three phones he was looking at were rubbish. And that was how Paul thought about the many reasons he had put confidence in himself. He described them as rubbish. He had trusted on his own achievements, and he felt that he needed nothing else. But that all changed when he met Christ in the Damascus Road, and his life was transformed through trusting in Jesus. Who are you trusting in today? Are you still putting your confidence in those things that Paul describes as rubbish? Jesus may not stop you on the Damascus Road like he did with Paul, but he might be speaking to you in a small, gentle voice. If so, now is the time to repent of your sin, to be sorry for those wrong things that you have done in your life, and to turn from that sin and to trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior. Paul gave up everything. He gave up his family, his freedom, his friendship, in order to know Jesus Christ. What are we willing to give up in order to put Christ at the center of our lives? Do we need to give up maybe a bit of that time from our busy lifestyle in order to set aside some time each day to spend in prayer and Bible study? Maybe is it some of those plans and pleasures that we need to sacrifice? If we live for earthly things and trust on our own merits, we can never be really happy. Paul rejoiced even when suffering in prison for serving the Lord. And it is only through trusting in Jesus Christ alone that we can truly rejoice. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for how you challenge us and encourage us through it. We pray that you would show us this morning those things that may be causing us to stumble and fall, and that you might help us to throw off those things that Paul describes as rubbish. Lord, we thank you that you sent your one and only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins, and ask that you'd help each of us to trust completely in Christ alone, that we would be able to truly rejoice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.